I think it's time that we address the practical tools how to attain the absolute state. Of course, there are countless meditations on that subject, but still, we are talking about it in the now. So it's always new. Absolute state is the foundation of the soul. Basically, without the absolute state, we are doomed. The soul cannot transcend the dimension of presence, which is dimension of lower individuality, and she cannot, therefore, cannot transcend suffering. Okay, reaching pure consciousness allows us to reach, to attain, and refuge in the beyond. But there are still limitations to pure consciousness. Because pure consciousness does not have vertical dimension. And when you go into meditation with eyes closed, your relationship with universal I am is sort of a disengaged. Because you are no longer in the waking state. You move to another state. We can say between waking and sleep. There are many states in between. Reaching the absolute state will not immediately free you from various imperfections in your consciousness or liberate you from suffering, but without the absolute state, you have no chance to be free from suffering. So we call the absolute state the second level of transcendence, second level of our entry into the beyond. But it is such a mysterious place. Because I spoke about that for so many years, so it may appear to be something that you take for granted, understanding of that dimension, but you should not forget that it is extremely mysterious. Never get used to anything. Always live in that state like everything is new. Because when you get used to things, including understanding of different spiritual subjects, they become petrified, they become dead, they lose that vital, that vitality, that spirit of life. So imagine, like when I'm talking now about the absolute state, how to reach it, and so on. Forget about the previous talks. Forget about the Book of Being. I hope you read it, because it's actually unlike different subjects on consciousness, the teaching on being and the absolute has not changed much. That's why the Book of Being is still valid, even though different terms perhaps shifted around, but the core of the message remains the same. Anyway, try to approach dimension of being and the absolute as if for the first time, as I do, because this is why I can talk about this. I'm experiencing it as if for the first time, which in a way is true, because I'm experiencing it in the now, and I'm explaining the subtleties of that reality in the now. One of the difficulties in grasping the absolute state and the state of being is that it's relatively far from consciousness. It's as far as you can go. It's like the furthest territory of the internal nowhere. And because it is so far from consciousness, from the person, there's this tendency to objectify it. This experience of being can happen naturally. If someone sits a lot of in meditation, even if one does not have the concept of being, often, intermittently, one somehow falls into the state of being. Naturally. And what is state of being? It is that energetic sphere of the soul, which is experienced in the lower region of the belly. It is being is part of the soul. But to be experienced as such, it has to be realized as an extension of our pure subjectivity. or else you will experience being as the space in which you exist, like a chair in which you sit. Obviously, a chair gives you the comfort to relax and to, so you can let go of yourself and sit in it. But chair is outside of you, while being is not outside of you. It may appear so, but it is not the case. Being is actually, you are sitting in a dimension of yourself. So imagine the chair is actually you, the armchair. You are sitting in yourself, just in a different part of yourself. But even though the awake or the activating the energy of being can happen spontaneously, just by the virtue of sitting in meditation, usually people lose it immediately when they get out of meditation, or they cannot even maintain it in meditation. So we need to master that state of being, so that we can own it. So it is not just an experience that comes and goes, but rather it is the base of our existence. And for that to happen, one has to first understand what being is. Next, one has to do a very specific practice in order to open the state of being and to stabilize it. And that practice is pretty simple, and it is very pleasant. And the main tool that we use is letting go with exhalation. Now, it is not the same as watching the breath. Because when you watch the breath, you experience breathing outside of you, meaning you are objectifying your breath. Similar as with feeling your breath. These are beneficial practices for people who are, you know, like ordinary people, but the concepts that lie at the base of these practices are very primitive. You can hypnotize yourself by watching the breath and arrive at a certain state of calmness, but that is not the real calmness. It's artificial calmness. It's like taking drugs. You cannot own it. You need to be one with breath as you are letting go with exhalation. And I hope that you are doing it right now as I'm talking about it. Letting go with exhalation. Now, the secret of that practice is that pure attention has to be attached to exhalation. Which allows, because pure attention has a identity, has pure subjectivity, so it's only pure attention that allows you to be one with exhalation. I spoke up in the beginning of the retreat about bringing consciousness into the body. Without being, you cannot bring consciousness into the body. Impossible. This is why practices being and the absolute state is like the foundation of the healing of the body. It allows you actually to embody the body, your physical form. There's a catch here though, because when you reach the absolute state, deep, deep, you're actually beyond the body. You are beyond the vital force, which temporarily may actually disconnect you from your body. You arrive at the state of no will, which can have a detrimental effect on your relationship with the body. This happened to me. It's called great death. It's like you die. For instance, my bowel movement stopped. It was a big problem. What saved me, by the way, was psyllium husk, which is something that I could recommend generally for the maintaining the hygiene of intestines. If it agrees with your system, not everybody is responding to it in the same way. But anyway, my bowel movement stopped because bowel movement requires vital force to work. It's unconscious, below the conscious threshold of the conscious recognition, but still it requires the vital force. So when you transcend the vital force, it's like there's no energy in your belly. On the physical level, because you are so much in the beyond. It's reported in many traditions the different shifts into various states of enlightenment can be physically traumatic, like the body has to adapt. And consciousness has to adapt, the person has to adapt. And there's plenty of confusion in this respect. I don't want to go into it now. But the fact is that eventually the body has to integrate. Meaning you have to come back into your body. You have to come back into your consciousness, your human consciousness, into the person. About the different stages, the development. So, coming to the point, letting go with exhalation. When you're letting go with exhalation, why exhalation? Because you're letting go with the vital force. I spoke about the benefits of nose breathing, healing. It's not just Well, nose breathing is, of course, the right kind of breathing, but just not just about getting enough oxygen. It is breath is an energy. What they call in India prana, or in China qi. So you are actually, by conscious breathing, especially through the nose and deep breathing, you are utilizing that force of life, that qi, that prana, which in itself has a profoundly healing effect on your body. So surrendering to being and letting out exhalation and so on, we are using the natural flow of vital force in order to get to the source of the vital force, which is the Tan Tien, which is the center of the vital force in the body, in the lower belly. It's completely unconscious, at least initially, but it is always there. And we are making it conscious. So when you let go with exhalation, there are a few principles here. You need to be one with the breath, which means that you need to connect your breath to pure attention. And you need to be one with the vital force. As you exhale, the vital force, you are one with that descent of the vital force. And you need to observe that the descent of the vital force is longer than an actual physical exhalation, meaning after you expel all the air from your lungs, the exhalation continues. And we have term for this, we call it the second exhalation. So there's a first exhalation where you expel all the air from your lungs, and the second exhalation, which continues afterwards. You can feel that a different kind of exhalation. It's easy to feel. Which actually makes me ponder, like on the physiological level, that maybe there is indeed a second exhalation. It's just people are breathing so fast that they are not in touch with it. But if you breathe slow, if you give yourself time, you will see that like all of your body actually, after that physical exhalation in your lungs has ended, all your body keeps exhaling. Well, when you exhale, the primal function of it is to get rid of the carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is good for you and it's bad for you. too much of it is not good, but it's important for the absorption of oxygen. That's why when you are hyperventilating, you're not generating enough carbon dioxide, meaning you're not absorbing enough oxygen. Carbon dioxide is actually created in your cells. So when you do this second exhalation, I'm wondering whether there's more of the carbon dioxide being expelled or something else is being expelled. Because the science on that here is quite limited. There's still many mysteries in the body that we don't really understand. But maybe there are some toxins that are being expelled through the second exhalation. It's not that carbon dioxide is a toxin, it is there's like the cycle between ingesting oxygen, expelling carbon dioxide, which does not make carbon dioxide toxin per se, but still we need to expel it to complete the cycle. Well, perhaps there's something more to expel. I don't know. I'm just now theorizing. I mean, I know that I'm right, I just don't know what it is that we need to expel. Because I don't have the scientific or the physiological knowledge in this respect. But if you feel, as you do the second exhalation, you can feel that there's something that your body is releasing. It's like it's freeing itself from something that is chemically, physiologically limiting it. So the second exhalation is very important. And as I said, people are just too busy. They breathe in and out, they breathe in and out. They don't have time to experience the second exhalation. There's no rush to inhale. You have time. Relax. When the body is really in the desperate need for oxygen, it will force you to inhale. Wait. Take your time. Now, as you follow that path of exhalation, where you, with one with pure attention, you fall, and the vital force, you fall at the bottom of exhalation. You will come to a place where everything stops. Everything freezes. The great stop. And if you observe carefully, you'll see that great stop is experienced in that region at the bottom of your belly. And that is the glimpse of what we call pure rest. For the first time in your entire existence, you experience pure rest. You get a taste of pure rest, and it is wonderful. But there's one problem with that. It's only momentary. Because you cannot stay there. You need to inhale, and the vital force is taking you up, away from that place of purest. And if you observe it even more carefully, you will notice that even before you inhale, something in that vital force gets as if suffocated. It resists that condition of purest and is creating fluctuations in that experience of purest. It literally feels like suffocation. These are things that I contemplated, like when I was practicing with the Absolute State almost 30 years ago. And I was deeply contemplating these matters, and it really feels like suffocation. So there's a suffocation which is based on the fact that we don't have enough oxygen, obviously, but there's another type of suffocation, the suffocation of the vital force. So it begins to fluctuate, begins to resist that condition of purest, begins to move upwards even before the actual physical inhalation. And that's the fact. And it's very important to feel the things, because without understanding of that, you will never be able to understand the distinction between arriving at the state of deep being and the Absolute itself. Basically, you'll be confusing everything. This is what I'm all the time addressing, the sense of orientation in our inner reality, sensitivity, the art of verification. All these things are crucial in order to really understand what is happening there and different layers of spiritual attainment. Anyway, that the end of the second exhalation, where you have this glimpse of pure rest, is like where you reach this plateau, the end, the great stop, is the place that you need to contemplate. That is the place of the threshold between the here and the beyond, presence and absence. Extremely important, so important. So, in this meditation, I will not speak about how to enter the absolute state. I'm just preparing the ground. We are still within the dimension of presence. We are still here. But we are touching the boundaries of the here. We are touching the final boundaries of our individuality. Lovingly, consciously, intelligently, we are getting in touch with this feathers, boundaries of our individuality. So when you inhale, the energy moves up. But as you practice letting go with exhalation and the vital force, you will see that some of the energy remains down. So some of the energy moves up, but some of the energy stays down. It's not affected by the upward movement of the vital force. Now, that which is down, that which is at the experience at the bottom of the exhalation, which you call the purest, has to be realized as pure subjectivity. And the term we give to that dimension of pure subjectivity is pure me of being. So when you are at the bottom of the exhalation, you're not just experiencing pure rest. Okay, I'm resting, so wonderful. You are experiencing the one who is resting, which is pure mere being. which is a dimension of your soul, dimension of your pure subjectivity. So you're not just resting in it, you are the one who is resting. Very important. Initially you relate to being as if from outside. Okay, I try to reach the state of being, I want to rest deeper. But now you are relating to being from being. It's no longer objectified. You are being. You are that state of being. Very important, awakening of pure subjectivity in being. If you do not embody being, you will keep objectifying it and you will never be able to empower it, because making it pure subjectivity actually allows you to empower it, to own it, to be it, rather than just experiencing it. So that great stop, that place of threshold, where the descent of the vital force stops with exhalation, is the place where the soul awakens a new dimension, the one that exists at the portal to the absolute I am.